Oh, we'll need to do much better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Right. Welcome, everyone. Let's rise together in body or in spirit and sing. We're going to sit at the welcome table. We're going to sing our song for January here in just a second. How can I keep from singing? But Kimberly reminded me a moment ago that I didn't properly indicate for this one, which we're going to do in a little bit. So we're going to sing the first part twice, the first two lines, then the second part twice, and then the first part. Once again, Trim, is that right? Yeah. Just follow along, you'll be fine. Okay? But first, we're going to sing this song, which now you've been singing all month and you know really well. How can I keep from singing?
Fulmer is going to light our chalice this morning. Carly is 17, and she loves math and swimming, and really, she's a smart chick. The flaming chalice is a symbol of our faith, a beacon of truth, a fire for justice, and a warmth for the soul. As the chalice is lit, let us speak together the covenant of our church. Love is the spirit of this church, and reason is its guide. To dwell together in peace, to seek truth in freedom, and to serve human need. This is our covenant. Now we're going to sing again, but remain seated. We're going to sing Return Again, which is number 1011 in your teal hymnal.
We gather together in worship. So I invite you to come in to this space and this time to breathe in and out, to be present here and now, to worship together. We have this great gift, the faculty of judgment, to decide what is true for us, to help us figure out how to move forward, to discern what is right in this moment. It's important, it's powerful, and sometimes we overdo it. We get a little ahead of ourselves. We judge too much. Ourselves, most likely, one another, the world. So in this spirit of worship, I invite you to open up your heart and your mind, your soul, to open up to the world around us, to this beautiful winter day, to one another, our friends, strangers, family, near and far, to truth in all its forms and disguises, to the power of the Spirit known to each of us in our own way, to open up your heart, your mind, your spirit, and be present here for worship together. Let us worship.
Good morning. The name of the story is called Parts. I just don't know what's going on or why it has to be, but every day it's something worse. What's happening to me? I think it was 3 days ago that I first became aware that in my comb were caught a couple pieces of my hair. I stared at them, amazed, and more than just a bit appalled, to think I'm only 5 and I'm already going bald. Then later on, I don't recall exactly when it was, I lifted up my shirt and I found this little bit of fuzz. I stared at it, again amazed, and wondered, well, what is this all about? But then I understood it was my stuffing coming out. The next day I was playing outside with a water hose and I saw these little bits of skin, they were peeling off of my toes. I stared at them and then I gave a groan to think that pretty soon I might be peeled down to my very bones. Then yesterday, before my bath, as I took off my clothes, a chunk of something gray and wet, it fell out of my nose. I stared at it amazed and thought, I should be feeling some pain. Well, wouldn't you if you just lost some of your brain? So now today, I'm sitting here, I'm enjoying Dr. Seuss, and suddenly I realize that I've got a loose tooth. I wiggle it, amazed, dismayed, too horrified to speak. Without my teeth, how can I eat? I already feel weak. And now I'm really worried. I mean, I'm scared as I can be, because finally, what's happening? It's very clear to me. The glue that holds us together is not working inside of me. Now I'm thinking to myself, what's next in line? It might be my ears, it might be my eyeballs. How is a kid to know? One day, I might be playing baseball and have my arm fall off. Or I might lose my head if I suddenly cough. Quite soon, I'll be in pieces, a big pile without any shapes. Good thing my dad has a lot of masking tape. What? You forgot to tell me that teeth fall out? You forgot to tell me that when they do some brand new tooth, they will begin to sprout? And my hair and my skin and everything, there's nothing I should fear? So all of me is normal? Oh, wee, that's really good to hear. Then tell me, though, what's this yellow stuff that's inside my ear? The end.
As a pagan, I find comfort in the connection with the changing seasons and the traditions of those who have gone before us. Rituals centering on bread are a mainstay in the pagan tradition, from honoring Brigid or Bri at the first planting to celebrating Lammas or Lunasa in August at the first harvest. In Pamela Berger's book, The Goddess Obscured, the pagan rituals celebrated at this early time of the year are discussed, when the ground is first awakened and the seed placed in the belly of the earth. This is a significant moment in a community which depends on the earth for sustenance. The fields were purified and offerings were made to the goddess. A medieval Anglo-Saxon plowing charm was often said by the farmer while cutting the first furrow. The farmer then took a loaf of bread, kneaded it with milk and consecrated water, and laid it in the first furrow. Planting could then commence. A version of this tradition is still practiced today in some areas of pagan Lithuania. I have celebrated a day-long ritual at Lammas, centering on the bread making. The ritual involved a symbolic grinding of the grain, and then mixing, kneading, and baking bread as a community. Pieces of the community-made bread were then dipped in honey and fed to community members. As we celebrate our whole grain communion this morning, I hold my connection to our ancestors' rituals in my heart. What seeds are you planting? What ties your whole person to the changing seasons and to those who have gone before us? I invite you to think now about how you too will be a person of integrity, as a way to grow in spirit and purpose. There are, of course, a lot of ways to live out the meaning of our faith. In addition to trying to live our best, to do our best to live well and beautifully, we encourage transformative generosity. And here is a chance to practice. Each week we practice, we collect an offering, the giving of our treasure pooled together to serve human need. We give 80% of that offering away to an organization doing good work, and while we use the other 20% to support our own ministries of justice making. This week, we're supporting Remedies, an organization dedicated to preventing domestic violence and serving the needs of the victims and survivors of such violence. There's more information on this organization in your bulletin. Thank you for your generosity this morning, and the offering will now be gratefully received.
All month, we've been asking what I find to be a very powerful question. What does it mean to be a people of integrity? Michelle Wentz talked about what it means to make promises and covenants, even though sometimes we don't keep them. She reminded us to keep it real. And we try and we reach and try again and forgive ourselves and each other and begin again in love. I told you a story about how being a person of integrity is about being true to the person your heart calls you to be, not someone else, but that and only that promise. Skylar Vogel talked about keeping promises to make justice in the world and making the hard choices that integrity sometimes demands. Today, I want to talk about a different but related kind of integrity, the integrity of wholeness. I think it's interesting that integrity has come to mean both things, to be an upstanding, honest person, and to be an integrated person, a whole person. Both meanings come from the same root, the Latin integer, which of course we use to mean a whole number. And it's that same Latin root, integer, that becomes in Spanish, integral, whole grain. Wholeness and whole grain is making a comeback, and it's about time, don't you think? I heard a story on NPR last week, and I bet some of you maybe did too, interviewing two top food critics about the food trends for 2015, and they agreed whole grains, whole fruits, whole fats even are all making a comeback. Whole foods, not the store, not the brand, but the actual thing, are making a comeback. Both critics were excited about something called Frika. And really, how could you not be excited about a food called Frika? It's pretty cool. It's green wheat on all the rage, apparently, in San Francisco and New York. Sometimes trends like that take a little while to reach Rockford, Illinois. So keep your eye out, though. You never know. Frika will be on the shelf before you know it. Quinoa, apparently, is very 2014. Frika is what's in now. Seriously, it is great to see wholeness making a comeback in food, actual ingredients, real things. I myself have finally kicked the Diet Coke habit, which I have had for years. Talk about fake food, mostly carcinogens. I'm drinking tea instead, something real. It took a little while to get used to, but I'm coming to love the health benefits and the ritual of it and the taste. I've shared this with a few friends, and I've heard from other folks who are making the exact same change or similar changes in their eating and drinking. Wholeness in our food and drink. It's making a comeback. How about in our lives? Can wholeness make a comeback there too? For just as we are outgrowing a food culture of artificial sweeteners and overly processed content, we live in a social culture of artificial reality, overly processed distractions. We're pulled in 1,000 different directions, and it's hard to know who we are, to feel like the parts of our lives are connected at all, like the glue that holds us together is still working. We have so often no personal sense of integrity, and I mean here not honesty, though keeping track of all our personalities and roles can be hard on the truth, but I mean a sense of wholeness, a sense of being an integrated person with an integrated life. At least I sometimes feel that way, and so I assume that some of you do too, at least some of the time, because I'm pretty lucky. I have a job that encourages me to be a whole person, at least most of the time. But I have work and parenting and family and friends and trying to have a social life and taking care of my body and my health. And I know that so many of you have similar lists of so many different obligations to keep. And it's this, and it's that, and it's this, and that again, and that other thing. And sometimes we feel like we're 5 people in one body. You feel like the parts of yourself are falling apart, the stuffing coming out. Does this resonate with any of you? Our modern culture, with its idolatry of productivity, its hyperspeed communications, its 24-hour news cycle, disjointed confusion, has made this problem worse. But the truth is, this has always been something of an issue. Human beings have always felt a desire to be whole, to be connected to our own heart and true self, to feel like we're living an integrated and complete life. We've always wanted that and sought it. And there are moments when we get it, right? When we're right there. Moments when it all comes together and we feel something powerful. Times when we feel that sense of wholeness and enoughness when we don't feel pulled apart, but present right here, right now. When we don't think about what's next or what's missing, when our to-do list fades away and we are in that moment and no other. It happens. I've had those moments running and reading a story to myself or my kids and writing and talking with people about things that matter. I've had them in the woods, and I've had them over a good meal with a good friend. When you feel whole, how about you? You've had moments like that? One more place I've had that feeling of wholeness: in church, in worship, in the life of ritual, in spirituality. I gave you the Latin meaning of the word integrity, integer, wholeness. One more etymology this morning, and I promise that's it. Religion comes from the Latin for ligament. To re-ligament is the meaning of the word religion. To reconnect, to restore your limbs if they've fallen off, to restore your sense of connection. And religious traditions around the world have found ways to honor this, to honor that longing for reconnection, for wholeness. In fact, that's what religion in all its different forms is really about, to help you reconnect, to address this absence and to celebrate its presence. Rituals, daily, weekly, annual reminders of our longing, of the reality, the truth that despite how we sometimes feel, we are whole, we are enough, we are worthy, we are loved. In Hinduism, for example, you restore your sense of wholeness in part through the practice of yoga, by breathing and being one with your own body. In Buddhism, you get there through meditation, that sense of becoming still so that you can be aware of who you are and where you are. In Islam, it's through the salat, the daily 5 prayers that are made to remind yourself to return to who you are. In the pagan tradition, rituals to honor the seasons of the year and remind yourself that you are part of that wider web of existence and the wholeness of the earth. And as Betsy shared, so many of those involve bread, whole grains to make and build community. Bread has power. Without it, some of our ancestors would not have survived the winter. Civilization, as we know it, at least in the West, is built on this elemental food. It is real and it is symbolic at the same time. The control over its distribution is a matter of justice. Its traditions create and sustain families and cultures. Thinking about bread and thinking about integral Spanish words, whole grain, led me to the great poet Pablo Neruda and his poem Oda al Pan, Ode to Bread. I've asked Martha Olgerman to read you a portion of this poem in Spanish this morning, and I printed the translation in your program, so you want to find that. It's probably the 3rd page after the announcements on the back. You'll find the translation. It's part of the poem. These words speak to human power and human longing, that the daily bread will be for every person, that there will be enough. That there will be enough for all the peoples of the world, that victory bread will set the world free. So, Oda al Pan.
O pan de cada boca, no te imploramos. Los hombres no somos mendigos de vagos dioses o de ángeles oscuros. Del mar y de la tierra haremos pan, plantaremos el de trigo, la tierra y los planetas. El pan de cada boca, de cada hombre, en cada día, llegará porque fuimos a sembrarlo y a hacerlo no para hombres, sino para todos. El pan, para todos los pueblos, y con él lo que tiene forma y sabor de pan. Repartiremos la tierra, la belleza, el amor, todo eso tiene sabor de pan, forma de pan, generación de harina, de todo. Nació para ser compartido, para ser entregado, para multiplicarse. No tiene alas la victoria terrestre, tiene pan en los hombros y vuela veloza, liberando la tierra como en una panadería, conducida en el viento.
Thank you, Mark. This is our wish, too, that all people will be fed, will have and know that they are enough, are whole and worthy of love and justice. Bread has power. I was talking about religious practices, reconnection practices that move us toward and remind us of our integrity. Each religion has a variety of things that you do to help remind you of your sense of wholeness, and you can see where I'm going with this. In Christianity, through communion, the people are reminded of their wholeness and restored unto it. Through the act of the sharing of bread and the wine, a ritual that honors the unity of the church and the unity of the person, that serves to restore that sense of your worth, your dignity. At least that's what the ritual should do. That's what it's supposed to be about. About the last etymology thing, I fibbed a little. One more. Communion means with union, or even with withness, togetherness, to come into unity, to come into wholeness. And this brings us back to whole grain bread. When we were discussing this month of integrity, what does it mean to be a people of integrity? Tim, who's both our musician and our resident linguist, shared the thing about integral, being whole grain in Spanish. And we thought, whole grain communion. At least that's what I thought. Communion at this church on a Sunday morning. And I thought, let's not talk about it, let's do it. So help me out a little bit. I'm guessing that the last time that communion, not an apple communion or a flower communion or a water communion or something else, but a Christian communion of bread and wine or bread and grape juice was celebrated in worship in this church was probably 1942. Does that sound right to those of you who might have been here then? Does anyone remember a later date on a Sunday? Any others? No. We'll keep asking, but I think that's probably the case. The communion script that would have been used then and that we'll use today is the script from the Unitarian Hymnal of 1937, the red one, this one, called Hymns of the Spirit. Any of you remember using this hymnal in this church? A few hands there in the back. This isn't some tradition that is foreign to us. It's not something from outside who we are. It's our tradition. It's our history. It's our version of this ancient ritual. We have mislaid it for some time, but wholeness is making a comeback. And things that are old are new again. So we're going to do this. And you can participate if you wish, or you can watch and observe. It's okay. You can speak the words or not, or just some of them. Do pay attention to them. Because though some things are similar and some are exactly the same of what you might have experienced before, if you come out of a Catholic or a Methodist or Lutheran or similar tradition, you'll notice that the words are not exactly the same. This is a theistic communion service. The Unitarians of 1937 were theists. They speak with affection about God, but it is a Unitarian script. There's no Trinity, no Son of God language. And I know some of you are theists today and some of you are not, and you don't have to be a theist to participate in the ritual if you want to. There is talk here about brokenness and confession and the need to heal and restore, but there is no talk here about irredeemable sin or hell or any of that. There is celebration, but it is not triumphant. There is memory, but not historical amnesia. If this ritual used to be or still is important to you, but you couldn't say the words in whatever tradition you might have been in before, I do hope that what we do here today will help you reclaim it for yourself. If this ritual is new to you, if you've never done it before in your whole life, and I imagine there's some for whom that's true, give it a try. If you're uncomfortable with what we are doing, know that that's okay too. I'm a little uncomfortable as well, but sometimes we need to push the limits to discover the truth, or at least a truth. We're using grape juice this morning, so everyone may feel free, no hesitation. I'll be holding the regular wheat bread, and Betsy will be holding a platter with some gluten-free bread. If that is something you need to do, take from either. Thanks to Teresa Wilmot, who lent us this set, which her daughter Erin purchased in Tazay, France. When the time comes, if you wish, come down the center aisle, and I'll say, take and eat and drink in remembrance. That's the script. Take a small piece of bread, dip it in the chalice, and eat, and then return via the side aisles. Again, if you wish. This is, of course, an open table, and everyone is welcome. There's no fancy style. All kinds of people at the table. We do this to return again to who we are, to who we have been, to who we might be. We do this as one among many paths to wholeness, one way in which people of faith, including ourselves, can restore a sense of balance, wholeness, and integrity. So be as present as you can be, and listen to the words, and feel the power of this ancient practice. And may you take from it whatever hope and joy and truth and kindness you need in your life. We'll begin with a song from our choir, Come My Way, My Truth, My Life, a communion song, which is in our current gray hymnal. And then I shall follow the script from the 1937 hymnal. The only amendments I have made to this text are for gender-inclusive language. Otherwise, it is exactly the same. There are parts for you. So on the reverse of the page that had the translation of the poem on it, you'll find the part that will come to you, and I'll tell you what to do when we get there. I've not reprinted the whole thing, so it's just that page for you. But first, the music. Begin with words from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Dearly beloved, we have received it that Jesus, on the night before he died, as he supped with his disciples in an upper chamber, took bread and broke it, likening it unto his crucified body, and poured out wine as a visible parable of the shedding of his blood. As we repeat this act in remembrance of him, may the Spirit which kept him steadfast even unto his death be quickened into us. We remember also that bread and wine have been to Christians in all ages a sign of their fellowship with him and with one another, a source of strength, a witness of the power of sacrificial love. Conscious of the weakness of our own hearts and of the needs of our fellows, let us here renew our communion with him and with all faithful servants of God who have found strength and joy in doing the will of God upon earth. Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Amen. Let's say together the confession, which is printed in your program. We come not into thy presence, most holy Lord God, trusting in our own righteousness, but in the manifold and abiding mercies. Remembering this day the great heart and passion of a Son of Man of long ago, we are ashamed of our selfish and imperfect lives. We would here be turned to the way of his brave and tender spirit, and find that wholeness of life which shall be at once a divine blessing for us and a divine ministry from us. Forgive our failures and shortcomings, and by thy grace strengthen our weak desires for goodness, that we may henceforth serve thee without fear and without shame all the days of our life. Amen. I invite you to stand if you wish, in body or in spirit, as we'll say responsively the words of the Beatitudes. You speak the words in bold. Let us hear the words of Jesus which speak of the way of blessedness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You may be seated. Let the bread here set apart from the bounty of the earth be to us a token of all the good we receive and cannot ourselves direct. And let us with quiet hearts wait for that highest good of all, the presence and the Spirit of God. Let the wine here outpoured be to us a token of the self-forgetting good which we must needs do for others if they are to share the fullness of the divine blessing. And let us offer ourselves not to be ministered unto, but to be ministers. Let us pray. Infinite and all-holy One, we would present ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee. And we pray that as the grain once scattered upon the mountains is here gathered into one bread, so thy separated children of every nation, kindred, and tongue may by thy grace be united in one living spirit of righteousness and peace. And as this wine came forth from the fruit of the vine, so may thy people, continually abiding as branches of the true vine, bring forth the fruit of good living to thy glory. O God, who art the parent of all, grant thy blessing upon us who are gathered here, and upon the multitudes of every name who are joined with us in one household of faith throughout the world. We remember the fathers and mothers from the beginning of the world and all who have wrought righteousness, even down to the present day. Be their names remembered or forgotten, their lives are hid with thee. Grant unto us, O God, that we may have our part and lot with all thy saints. We remember all whom we love and who love us. both those who have fallen asleep and those whose presence still blesses us. Thanks be to thee for their benediction upon our lives. Establish thou the work of their hands, and keep us in one spirit with them. We remember those who journey and who sojourn in far countries. May it please thee to abide with them wheresoever they may abide, and to bring them in safety to their desired haven. We remember those in distress who suffer in body, mind, or estate, those who are in prison and in bonds. As bound with them and as sufferers with them, we bear them in our hearts and pray for their relief. We remember our enemies. If there be any who have injured us or cherish hatred against us, we pray thee to turn their hearts and ours, that we may live peaceably with all. If there be any whom we have wronged, move us to make amends and seek forgiveness at their hands, and may we freely forgive all who have wronged us. We remember the whole family of humankind and pray thee that the spirits of all flesh may taste of thy grace, and that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink of it, in remembrance of me." I invite you to the table.
Thank you.
Let us join in that silent prayer. The Spirit which was in Jesus may be in us also, enabling us to know the truth, to do the will of God, and to abide in peace. Let us enter together in silence. I invite you to say with me the words which Jesus taught his disciples when they asked how to pray, if you wish. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. O thou guiding spirit of the souls of women and men, whom all worship under many names and diverse forms, we pray for thy blessing upon the great company of those who fain would know thy law and do thy will. Grant unto thy church universal, wheresoever it may be found, an increasing knowledge of the truth, a deeper understanding of human need, a more generous spirit of sacrificial love. Where it is weak in the presence of evil, strengthen and upbuild it in the hearts of all. Where it is in error, reestablish it in the right way. Where it is corrupt, purify it, though it be by fire. Where it is divided by misunderstanding, jealousy, and suspicion, bring it into one spirit of goodwill. Draw together in one accord the spirits of all thy children, until each shall labor in their appointed way for the kingdom of righteousness and love, until the discords of earthly strife and clamor shall be lost in one great hymn of praise. So may thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That concludes the script as written in those years. I thank you and hope that it has been for you a chance to come into wholeness and integrity. The last instruction is to sing, so I invite you to rise in body or spirit We'll sing For All That Is Our Life. I invite you to take a seat for the announcements and make a little space because the choir's in the middle. So if you were sitting on the edge, you're going to have to move down one, make room for them to sit so they don't have to go all the way back. It's been wonderful to be together for worship this morning. I invite you to explore in the days remaining in January what it means to be a person of integrity in your personal and family life, to think about what might it mean to be a whole grain person. Explore that question and how you live in the world. If you want to go deeper into our monthly themes each month, you can join a Spirit Journey group. The signups are in the lobby, and we'd love to have you be part of that program. There's a bunch of announcements in the bulletin. I want to highlight that our food pantry work day, speaking of making sure there's enough for everyone, is coming up on the 7th of February, and there's a signup for that as well. If today was your first day with us, a special and hearty welcome. We're so glad to have you. Hope you checked in at the guest table on your way in. If not, please do so on the way out so we can be in touch. Next week, we'll be beginning our month of devotion. What does it mean to be a people of devotion? And I'll be talking about say your devotions. I'll think of something interesting to say, I'm sure. So please come and bring a friend with you. We'd love to have them here. And now I invite you to rise in body or spirit once again to say our benediction and sing together. The words of our benediction come from the minister Hosea Ballou, one of our early Universalist ministers, who said, If we agree in love, there is no disagreement that can do us any injury. But if we do not, no other agreement can do us any good. Let us endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. I'll extinguish our chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These things we carry with us until we are together again. And we'll sing together our sung benediction. Go your way in peace. We'll sing it through twice.